Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, a subject that we've covered on this show before that I want to return to is the importance of happiness in the workplace and can it actually be measured? My next guest has spent his whole career saying yes to both questions. It's great to welcome Nick Marks. He's the author of Happiness is a Serious Business to Down to Business. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very good, thank you, sir.
Now, thanks for talking to us this morning. One thing I just want to start off by saying is the word happiness maybe a little bit misleading here, in that if one thinks of happiness, we conjure up warm, fluffy, soft, positive emotional feelings, but it's really so much more when you talk about the workplace.
It can be sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of businesses talk about well-being or mental health in the workplace, and those words are a bit heavier. Mental health is very heavy. Well-being is sort of a bit flat energetically, and happiness has a good energy to it. But it isn't like happiness is a sort of warm, fluffy beach that you go and lie on and everything is okay. It's really dynamic. It's always moving up and down. And so what I'm really talking about is energy at work, positive energy at work. And it's statistically a really good measure, because if you ask people how happy were you at work last week, people can answer it very easily. And that gives me robust data. So in that way, I'm very interested in it too.
Okay. And you're also a trained statistician, are you not? So you come at this from a background, an academic background of measurement of data, of information. In other words, that you're using tangible sources to define what happiness is.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important, because otherwise it does look fluffy. And, you know, numbers are the language of business. So if you want businesses to take people's experience of work seriously, I think we need to make robust numbers that they can use and that are useful to them, that they're responsive to what's going on, and they help them make better decisions. So that's really what my work is about.
Okay, right. So you rightly say that happy employees stay longer, they build deeper expertise, build stronger client relationships, and provide greater cultural stability. These are all real positives. So tell me how you go about measuring performance around happiness within a business.
So in the academic field, there's a lot of research on showing that happier employees are more productive. The problem with most of that research is it's what we call correlational, which is that they're looking and they can see the happier people are higher performing. But of course, if you perform well, you're going to be happier too. So it can be quite entwined. But just a couple of years ago, there was a really brilliant study of BT call operators. When people are on the phone doing the calls that probably none of us, you know, really want to do, ringing up BT and changing our internet or whatever it is. You're in Ireland, well, whatever your equivalent is. And so what they found was that if the call operators were happier, they were selling more. And that's just their tone of voice on the call, just the way they negotiate with the customer. And it really shows how important it is. And they proved causality because they looked at how the weather changed people's moods and then they sold more. And so that's very difficult to prove, but you can sell more and be happier, but you can't be happier and make the weather improve. So we really do know that it's causal, from happiness, positivity towards things like sales and performance. And the roots for that are things like collaboration, creativity, just attracting people towards your project. If you're positive, people will help you. So these are really, really important human skills. It's why we have businesses with lots of people, because we know we work better together than individually. And happiness and positivity is the glue that holds that together.
You also say in the book, unhappiness is very loud, or often loud. people disagree, they disengage, or they defect. But you use the word about how is the team, they're okay. So when you use the word okay, to me that sounds like a negative, but okay to some might say it is okay.
I'm a bit playing with the language here. So I'm a bit playing with the language that okay isn't okay. And what I mean by that is just as you said, yeah, unhappiness is energetic. And so if we think of happiness as a sort of good, bad signal that when we're happy, things are going well, when we're unhappy, they're not. Well, when you're happy or positive, you've got energy to take advantage of the situation. When you're unhappy, you've actually got energy to change it. And unhappiness is functional. Don't think of unhappiness is not comfortable, but it's telling us information. The issue is in between. Okay, it's a bit energetically dead, you know. It's okay. And that's where people can get stuck. You know, teams can get stuck. To be honest, it's the same in our personal lives. We can get stuck in okay relationships. We can get stuck in okay health. You know, haven't got a major health event, but we're a bit flat and energetically. It's quite difficult to get out of because you haven't got the oomph. And that, in my experience, most organizations have a problem with okay teams. They might have some unhappy, but something's going to change there anyway, or break up as a team. That, you know, there'd be fires to put out there, whereas okay, there's no fires lit underneath and there's nothing moving for them. And that's where their problems, and that's where their opportunity is to move okay teams into being more positive. That's where their growth will come as a company.
And do you think because they use the term okay that it results in inaction? Because it is okay, we leave it be, we've other fish to fry, sort of thing.
I think it does, because there's nothing drawing attention to it unless you look for it. Because, and also we sort of kind of want to avoid, I mean, I think it's quite natural as a people leader, most people aren't trained very well in people skills, but sort of avoid things if you can do. So if things are okay, you think, oh, it's okay, I don't have to do anything. But actually, you're probably underperforming by 15, 20%. You've probably got 50% higher staff turnover. And you'll probably be building up stress and burnout over time. And these are things that will come back and bite you. So really, when things are just flat energetically, there's a sign that there's unfulfilled potential there.
Is it a challenge for you, Nick, in your world to reframe happiness as a serious business metric?
Yes.
And how do you do that? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, I've done that just by writing this book, Happiness is a Serious Business. I do it by, you know, doing talks and masterclasses for people and really showing the business case. So if I'm working with senior leaders, I will really lay out the business case, and it's very rich and deep. You know, you can think about how feeling positive helps you deal with difficult customers, how it improves creativity, collaboration. There's so many ways it impacts things. You know, if you think about in a customer service business, if you've got positive employees, customers will come back, you know, so your cost of sale reduces. In fact, they recommend you to other people. So, you know, your cost of acquiring new customer falls. So happiness really is very pervasive. You know, it ripples outwards, the positive effects. And of course, unhappiness has the same effect. So I build a good business case for senior leaders. And then for people leaders at the front, it's really helping them create a structure in their teams that they can give some space in the busy, busy world of work for people to have a time to reflect on what's going well in their work. I always say concentrate on what's going well. Too often we skip to the next challenge. We don't stop, pause, think what's gone well, slightly celebrate it, you know, and then what's holding us back? What are the frustrations? So I think of it as like friction and flow, reduce friction and increase flow at a team level.
You mentioned the sort of drivers of happiness within the business: connect, be fair, empower, challenge, and inspire. I think they're probably right on the money.
Yeah, they're really not new science. I mean, you can see Maslow, if you remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs in there. You know, inspire is kind of the sort of meaning part of it. But I think we need to understand that happiness isn't just about removing stress. It is also stretching people. People like solving difficult problems together, and they like rising to challenges and doing work they think is meaningful. And so happiness is so much more than not just being stressed. That is important. It's important. People talk about psychological safety at work and physical safety, to be honest. And those are really important baselines, but they're there precisely so we can spring off and rise to the challenges we face. That's if you've got work you enjoy, it's likely to be challenging for you, as well as being nice people and being treated fairly. Those are really important, but it's likely to be challenging and stretching too.
Yeah. And finally, can I ask you, Nick, about the way we work, the changing way we work at home versus in the office, blended employment? Has happiness suffered or improved as a result of the kind of the new way?
It's a really mixed bag, because working from home is good for flexibility. It's good for people who've got kids. It gets rid of the commute for some people, which is not the happiest part of the day, but it also isolates. It stops, you know, people connecting together. You can lose some team culture. So what seems certain from the data is we're not going back to pre-COVID days of everybody in the office all of the time. We are moving to a blended, and I think you have to do that very intentionally. You know, there are types of work. Well, firstly, half of jobs can't be done from home, so that's rules out. And then the other half, it's like creating a thing that works for you. And I think, like, well, there's many different personalities, there's going to be many different organizational cultures. They don't have to all be the same. I mean, I would go for a blended approach is what I would say. But I think for some organizations, being in 5 days a week will be a great culture. For some, being 5 days fully remote will work for them. They probably will have people will be less committed to the company. They probably should bring together people at least once a quarter so they get to physically know each other. So I'm not very pro fully remote. I'm pro flexibility. And I think in some instances, 5 days a week, actually 4 day working week is also super interesting, and I think is coming for lots of people. So there's a lot of change. And I think those five ways, talk about the five ways to team happiness: connect, be fair, empower, challenge, inspire. They're multidimensional. So if you've got a challenge like that, look at it from those five dimensions and Sure. Have a discussion. You know, that's kind of the point. Okay. It's not easy.
Look, it's a great book. It's a great subject. Happiness is a serious business. The author is Nick Marks. Nick, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.